Yeah, there's a light on.
See, I guess.
Are you working?
Yeah.
Well, I'll start off the subject of where we're going to be, but or I think where we're going to be. I don't know. You know, the Bible says that Enoch walked with God, and it's in the fifth chapter of Genesis, and it says that he was not because God took him. Well, I just discovered something today. We have this record, there's a little record, I think, of Stephen mentioned it, but it also is mentioned in the book of Hebrews. And here's what it says. Now listen to this. And by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For he had this testimony that he pleased God. Guess what the next verse is?
By faith?
Hebrews 11:6. That's Hebrews 11:5. How many times have I read that and didn't see that they were close together? And the next verse is in Hebrews 11:6, says, without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Those verses are right next to each other. So you see the foundation for faith? Yeah, are you following what I'm saying? So anyway, I wasn't looking for that, but I was looking for something else. And here's what it says. You wonder, you know, how do people give their lives? And the Bible says in Revelation that they loved out their lives even unto death. And a lot of people just gave their lives. And you think, well, how did they do that? And I got the revelation. I started to understand it today. You have to understand that what's coming is greater than what's here. You got to believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just naturally believe it. You have to believe it by this substance called faith. And so, anyway, here's the verses that I ran into. For Abraham, he looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and fount maker is God. Through faith, also Sarah herself, well, anyway, in verse 14, this is in Hebrews 11, verse 14 it says, for they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They're seeking something else, see? And I'm getting a real craving for it. It's really, I mean, I'm not making this up. I got this desire for it because it's coming and I know what's coming. And it says, that they think, declare plainly, they seek a country, but now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly country. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
I love that scripture.
Yeah, for he has prepared for them a city. See, we have to, by faith, not only understand, but we have to believe that that something better is coming. So then you don't, this life is not, doesn't hold its control. Let go of it.
Mm-hmm. Another country.
Yeah. Let go of the life. What good is it? It's nothing but pain and sorrow and agony and hell on this earth. And we're only here as a proving ground for the one that's coming. But people don't understand it. Do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, I read that today, and I with the phone over. I can't see that. Still, the other red light's still on. So anyway, any comments?
We got a veil between here and that better country, but you know, it occurs to me that maybe with faith you can see through the veil.
You see something that you can't otherwise see.
Yeah.
And I see the country. You know, that city or that scripture that says that eye has not seen and ear has not heard the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. And anyway, and this is what it is. It is a country. It's a city. It's a land. It's a place where we never die.
Oh, yeah.
And I know that. I believe that. And I think before it's all over with, we'll all believe it. And I don't have every ounce of faith that there is involved in it, but I got a lot of faith.
Mm.
I had a little moment of time today when I was trying to just comprehend how awesome God is, how He can know every single little thought, deed, anything that happens in the universe. And then I kind of went, I can't. So, but you know, I was, because I think I was doing a little role playing in my mind about witnessing, possibly, you know, or something. You know, I thought, well, why would you want to know God? And how do you know? Somebody would say, how do you know God? If he's this, how could you know God? And you know, the quickest one that comes to me is because I speak in this unknown language that I never knew before.
Yeah.
Something caused that. You know? So whatever it is, he's big, and so that's my God. Now, I know a lot more about him than that, but you know what I mean? It's like, but I was just, and then, of course, he gave that power, and you know, I'm thinking, when we reach that final place, and he says he's the light that's going to shine, you got to be in the same place almost, wouldn't you? I mean, because you're going to be totally immersed in His Spirit.
John 17, whatever, the 21 or whatever. Yeah, we're.
I mean, you'll be glorified like Christ. You know.
Right.
It's. I mean, you can't comprehend that.
Right.
But it's kind of like, you know, it's. I just was thinking, well, how awesome is this God that, you know, He can just go, well, this is going to be this and this is going to be that. And he goes down to little micro things, you know, that He planted all throughout the earth, in the oceans, and, you know, all the stuff that He had made every flower different. And I mean, it's incredible.
Yes, yeah.
And how would you want to argue against that? Or try to say you're as big as that, or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
Or you're as intelligent as that.
Or even this, the Trinity. What a foolish, foolish thought.
Yeah.
Mm.
It doesn't bear witness with anything.
No.
And go ahead, Charlie.
I guess my point, you know, what you say about God is most certainly true. And yet, that is, in a kind of a sense, a minor aspect of Him. The big deal is heaven, you know, and the glorious place that He has. You know, so this natural realm, it really demonstrates His greatness when this is...
Just a minute
This is minor.
Yeah.
This is minor. The big deal, the point of it is...
That's great.
But now you know the thought I have with that, because of what Paulo brought last week. Now stop and think. Here, this God loves you.
Yeah, isn't that something?
He loves you.
Yeah.
That's each one that has a heart for Him.
It's hard to get wrap your mind around that.
Yeah, yeah.
I interrupted you, Paulo.
Yeah, well, it was not the same so much, but... You know, like people will believe something. Anyways, this one guy, I was talking to this guy I work for, and his helper. He has a helper that helps him all the time. And so he's working on a church, you know, brand new church, you know, not remodeled one. It's a brand new church. His helper couldn't help him because his religion wouldn't let him work on another church.
Are you kidding me?
He's a Seventh Day Adventist.
Oh.
So he's like, he couldn't. So he's like, so here I sit, and then he's like, and now I got to work in a courthouse, and I don't know if he can help me because they don't believe in voting or not in government.
Yeah.
So he's like, and so I said, what? I said, and I said, that's not even the Bible. I said, I know. And when he's like, well, he said, he claims that he goes only by the Bible.
Yeah.
I'm like, told him no. The Bible says obey your government first of all. So if you don't vote, or because I mean, you're not. God says obey your government. You know, long story short. You know,
you don't have to vote. But
no, well, no, you don't have to vote, but
you're subject. Be subject.
Right.
To those over you.
Right. But this case is Antigua. So is that, and then they were having a celebration of a birthday or some place, and he couldn't even be in the same room. For some reason, eating the same food, he had to go outside and sit in his car. And
I didn't know they were that strict.
Well,
are they?
Well, the 70s, some of them, because they adhere to the Jewish
Sabbath
ideas.
Day, right?
Yeah.
So evidently, they only read certain parts of the Bible.
Right.
They just read the Old Testament.
Yeah. That is so missing out on the heart of God, though.
Yeah.
And it's so characteristic of people.
Yeah.
To have a special.
Yeah.
Make a special claim to special knowledge.
Yeah.
Where they have to.
I know.
You know. And frankly, we have to be a little bit on the lookout for that kind of special deal, too. You know?
Yeah.
We must not make some a special claim that makes everyone else second class or wrong or you know whatever, even though they are wrong. Which is a little bit of a complication there.
Well, the thing about it, to know God is what eternal life is. So that means that that is salvation. So to not know God is not salvation. That you eliminate salvation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it says. Eternal life is to know you, the only true God. And you know what? I don't know that I have thought about that more than I have the last couple of weeks. The only true God.
Mm-hmm.
The only true God. The only true God. I looked it up in my other translations. Every one of them says, the only true God. And I'm thinking, then what do you do with these other things?
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus Christ, whom he has sent. Well, what the Trinitarians say, he's sending from heaven.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Okay. And then in some of the translations, I noticed that they put on there, they capitalize Jesus Christ. Whereas in the King James, it's not capitalized. They did it because he is deity. You know what I mean?
Mm.
As if he's God. In the King James, and the New King James, it doesn't do that. But in, and it does in all of the translations.
Yeah.
But in some of them, they're looking at it and they're reading it and they're not reading it straight.
Mm-hmm. All the letters are capitalized, you mean?
Huh? Yeah.
ESUS.
Yeah.
I see.
And then in one of the Old Testament, it's in Malachi. I saw something that I've been going to bring up, and I forgot to bring it up in the church, and it calls Christ the SUN of righteousness.
Hmm.
You ever see that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw that.
Where about?
The sun.
Malachi?
It's in Malachi.
Oh. I remember reading that too. I brought that up once too. I said,
did you?
Yeah, I said, isn't this interesting that it's S-U-N instead of S-U-N?
Yeah.
Oh.
The sun of righteousness.
Hmm.
Hmm. Well.
But here's the kicker. This thing about the knowing of God. No man knows the Father except the Son, and whosoever the Son will declare or reveal him. And in John 1:18 it says, no man has ever seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, And how do you bring the mood of God that is, you know, it means something else. It has to mean something else. Who is in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So the revelations and the things that we read in the Scriptures are that God's declaration of Himself to His Son.
Mm.
So the only way you can get to know God is if God makes it happen. You follow what I'm saying? And if God doesn't make it happen, you don't get to know Him. So what do you do? It changes your approach, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know, you were reading there from Hebrews 11, and it talks about Abraham's kind of wandering.
Yeah.
He left the Ur of the Chaldees, but he went here, and it looks aimless from the natural man's point of view. Going here, going there, going, you know, there's no rhyme or rhythm. But isn't that, in a sense, knowing God? When you are blown about by the wind of the Spirit or whatever? I mean, isn't Abraham demonstrating a knowledge of God by that wandering, what from the outward looks like aimless wandering?
We have, even though you guys might not realize it, but I do. We have an experience that was an Abraham experience to Clarentoine Rossi. He spent 15 or 20 years of his life looking for a city.
Doing the wandering, huh? Yeah.
And he wasn't looking for a person, but he was looking for a place, a building, a home. And when he found, when God showed him in the dream that or in the vision, he turned the guy around that was me, that he became a part of our church until he died. But that was what he was looking for. He was looking for the real thing. And he said, this is it. This is it. Well, you know what? I haven't felt like this was it lots of times. But you know what? It is it.
Yeah.
The Word of God is it. And that's he wore his Bibles out. I got one here. That sometime you guys got to look at it. Yeah, put the pages back in order. But And you got to ignore the marks, the pencil marks. He marks every page with something. I don't know what it was for. But that's what he looked for. He spent 20 years of his life wandering around looking for the city. And I was a type of it. I represented it, but not without even acknowledging it. At that point, I was embarrassed by Clarence. So, you know what I mean? So what you're seeing right here is a fulfillment of what Clarence was looking for. The Word.
Mm-hmm.
He loved it. He sat on the ball and you avoid him because he sat there with his Bible. You didn't want to get in a conversation with him. So you'd walk around him. I mean, I did many, many times. I'd see him, and when I saw him first, he never saw me.
Oh, I just noticed something.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just noticed that this verse jumped out at me when I was listening. So I found it finally while I was sitting here tonight. And she will bring forth a son, capitalized S, just the first letter. And you should call his name Jesus, and it's all capitalized.
It was all in
Matthew.
Matthew?
In the New King James. But here's the part that I picked up on. Or I think I did. You shall call his name Jesus.
What verse is it?
Verse 1, chapter 1, 21. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And I thought, now, the name has importance because now there was other guys named Jesus too, but they didn't have the same credentials, you know. But the name is because he is going to save his people from their sins.
Right.
So that name And I thought, well, why that name? Well, you know, it goes back, because remember we talked about this all before, where Yahweh means salvation, and when you come down and it derivatives to, like, Joshua, you know, he was leading them to the new promised land. So it was all, the name implies that it's salvation mm-hmm. for the people. So it just kind of stood out there that, you know, and you should call his name Jesus. Why that? Well, because that has, it links to the Father, really. I mean, if you go all the way back. And yeah. he will save, you know, and so.
Funny, both, I've got the regular King James, mm-hmm. and it capitalizes all five letters.
Does it there too?
Yeah, and the same is true in verse 25. Last word there in chapter 1. And he called
him yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And I suppose it ties in with Yahweh, you know, and some.
Well, but right away after that, now after Jesus was born.
Right, Jesus, yeah. There was,
then
yeah.
they just capitalized the first letter.
Yeah.
Why would you keep well, the same all
that,
the way through?
The idea of the name, I think. Because the same thing's true there in verse 25 too,
right?
The name,
yeah.
And there's somehow making a parallel between that and Yahweh,
yeah.
The name
and
Yahweh.
He called his name.
Well, the name Jesus is it comes from the word Jesus from the Greek,
right?
And so, but in the word Jesus or Jesus, however they say it, comes from the word. Help me out.
Yeshua, isn't it?
Yeah, Yeshua.
Yeah, right.
Which is an offshoot of the name Yahweh or
Yahweh.
Or any of these names uh-huh. we had in the first place.
Yeah.
Or what is what's the name they used to call God?
Yahweh.
Jehovah,
yeah.
Jehovah. And so there's, and the reason that there's confusion is because the Jews never used the vowels because they were afraid of getting the name that they would commit blasphemy by using the wrong name.
Yeah, they couldn't
so they
out.
Lost the name. And God allowed them to lose it.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, I come in my Father's name. Yeah, you don't receive me. What name was that?
Jesus.
Yeah, whatever you want to put with Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's what it was. I come in my Father's name, and you don't receive it. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive.
That's why in Matthew, when it says, baptize in the name of the Father, you know, and the Son, well, they both have the same name.
So Matthew, who wrote this, is up in the upper room when Jesus or Peter says to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Right.
And my question is, why didn't he stop him?
Say, no, you have to baptize him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
It says, I wonder if it was a decision by the translators to.
I think so. Don't you? I mean.
I don't know. Maybe there's something in the original manuscripts that would indicate that. I don't know what that would be, but.
Well, a lot of the. But some of the. But you had it in there one time years ago. Where some of the translations are 300 years after Christ.
Yeah, right.
Or the manuscripts, I mean.
Right.
And so a lot of translations came in after the Trinity was established.
Yeah.
And if people are convinced enough in their hearts that something is true, they will change their manuscripts. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what to think of this first chapter of Matthew here. With that, you know? I don't know what.
As far
I don't know what to make of it.
As
the
far
fact that it's capitalized
oh.
for the there in verse 21 and verse 25.
Well, it may, you know, they may just put it in there in that sense to establish the deity part, and then just feel like, well, we're not going to repeat it every time they say the name Jesus. You know.
I
don't know. I would think, though, that you should, if that's what you think, you know.
It talks about Jesus
a lot.
Before, and verse 18 talks about, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this way.
Yeah.
And then there's old, you know.
Is that capitalized there?
No. And then the first verse of chapter 1 there, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, it's not capitalized there.
Yeah.
It's just this, the name.
It's kind of like that setting where it says, and I am.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I am.
It's the burning bush, right?
Yeah.
You know, that's why it's so much better to hear it. Because you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Well, for all I know, there's a revelation here.
Yeah.
In the but yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You know, I brought my own Bible tonight because I had a lot of markings in it.
Yeah.
And in the, this is the New American Standard. And the only letters that are capitalized in 18, 21, and 25 is the J.
Oh,
Bible.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They don't have the ESUS in 21, 25.
No, it's the J.
Yeah.
You know.
So,
I mean,
to go. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's interesting how different each Bible is when it's written and printed, you know.
You know, when they read the Bible in the synagogue 2,000 years ago, and nobody was like, oh, yeah, is it capitalized? You know what I mean?
What capitalized was?
So when it's capitalized, put your hands up. Not capitalized.
You know, well, you're right.
Yeah.
You avoid the whole thing when you listen to it.
Just listen to it. Yeah. I mean, the Spirit can even do so much greater work.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if it suggests anything, it does suggest that the divinity of Jesus, you know.
But we're so natural.
Yeah.
We're so natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're supposed to be like little kids, but this is even worse.
In a sense, we probably shouldn't even spend all that time on it.
Right, exactly. You know, Jesus, it says, you know, for some Jesus will be a stumbling block. Well, for some of that, well, it will be, you know, like eternal, you know, that's long story short. So this could be
a cornerstone or a stumbling block.
So this could all of a sudden, you know, capitalize, not capitalize. Even if it agrees with us, or everything that we believe in, I don't even know. It could all of a sudden become a stumbling block, not for us, or somebody else, or even for us.
I don't care how it's spelled.
I don't think I care.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep that in mind, Charlie. We'll be watching.
I was sharing in separate occasions with Keith and what's your name again?
I'm getting old. Yeah. The
other old guy.
with Keith and Ken, Anna, so you guys can share it with you guys. I was thinking about prayer and when we pray and how Jesus prayed. And this, you know, how is it when you pray? You know, well, you know, Heavenly Father, who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know, this is how you pray. And then Jesus, you know, okay, you know, are you sick? Well, be healed, right? I mean, we have to pray like that, right? Doesn't know that, but it's good. But there's another way of praying. Praying in tongues, yes. But this caught my attention big time. With the loaves and the fishes. So, I'm going to read. So we'll see when we pray sometimes. Let's say some guy has any disease of some sort, okay? Well, Father, you know, you pray that you'd kill the bacteria and so he might feel better, so he can, you know, go running or go to work or whatever, or strengthen the bones or whatever. We're going to give God instructions.
I don't.
You know what I mean? We kind
of. I get a kick out of that.
Yeah. We kind of. This is how you should do it, kind of. And you know what? I still don't think it's awful wrong because that's all we got. That's all we got, really. But then, so
I'd like to be a little more heavenly minded than to give him instructions.
Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know that he's going to be scornful of those instructions.
Well, and yeah, the example you said to me was, you know, this guy, he's only got a dollar, but he's got this debt that needs to be paid, and it's $100. And Pablo goes, well, why not just pray, Lord, it's in your hands. Thank you for this dollar.
Yes. Yeah, I'm going to get to it. See, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, and he healed all of them. When it was evening, so he's already healed everybody. When it was evening, his disciples came to him and said, this is a deserted place, and the hour is late, already late. Send the multitudes away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves food. But Jesus said to them, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. And Jesus knew they had not a lot of food. And they said to him, we have only 5 loaves and 2 fish. He said, bring them here to me. Then he commanded the multitudes to sit down in the grass, and he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish. And looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke, and gave the loaves to the disciples. And the disciples gave to the multitudes. So, Father, multiply the bread. No. Or, Father, send somebody with bread. No. He had obviously not enough. I mean, it's obviously not enough. Thank you. I bless this food. End of story. And everybody's eating. So we acknowledge that. We are like, okay, how can we pray? Let's pray that we all eat. Okay, well, Father, anoint somebody in the town over there to buy a bunch of bread and bring it to us. You know what I mean? So if we start using our common sense when we pray, we are not good. Don't try to figure out how is God going to answer your prayer. If you start trying to figure out how is God going to answer your prayer, you're all of a sudden you've got unbelief, especially in those big prayers and on those big needs.
Yeah.
So now
you're making a finite God out of an infinite God.
Exactly. Mm. Don't try to figure out how is God's going to do it. Just bless the situation. So again, in here, so now again, hold on a second. Okay, so now the Passover, this is a different day. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to test them. For he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that everyone might eat a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? I mean, and this just happened, who knows, a couple of weeks ago, same deal, and they're already wondering the same stupid thing. Then Jesus says, may the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, a number of 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he gave thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, so that nothing's lost. So, again, got 2 fish, and who knows how much bread. Father, I thank you for this fish and for this bread. End of story. End of everything.
End of prayer.
End of prayer. Now everybody's eating. Thousands. Not like one loaf, not like 12 people out of a little bit. Thousands. You know, and so here I would, Father, take their hunger away or some, you know, get 200. Let's go get 200 denarii and let's buy, let's go buy a plant. So, we need to not try to figure out how is God going to do what we need. That's why I gave you kind of examples like, okay, I owe $1 million. I have a dollar. So here we start praying that somebody will send you money, or that you win the lottery, or that whatever. You know what? This is what you do. You take your dollar, and you thank God for that dollar, and you're done. That's it. You're done. Now, I've been thanking God for my truck, and I don't think I still really mean it. But I'm trying to mean it so He can help me with this. You know, but so I've been trying to pray different. I've been trying to thank Him for what I have that is not enough. Just, you know what I mean? And I'm not saying don't pray the Heavenly Father, the Lord's Prayer, or don't ask to be healed, because that's what Jesus does. But this is another phase, another way also. If when you don't know how in the world could this be fixed, just give thanks for what you have. Just think for what you have. And, you know.
We think that five loaves closes the door as far as feeding the 5,000. No. We have to have that door open.
Yeah.
Open. Yeah. You know. And in our own lives.
Yeah.
We run into an equivalent situation.
Mm-hmm.
And we consider that a closed door.
Mm-hmm.
No.
Right.
That door has to be open.
Right. Right.
You know.
Right.
Well, Matthew 6:7. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathens do, mm-hmm. for they think they will be heard for their many mm-hmm. words.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have
right.
need of before you
yeah.
ask Him. And then, of course, it says, but in this manner, therefore, and it gives the
Lord's Prayer.
But, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, kind of what you're doing is you're acknowledging the one that can help you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and ask, you know, mm-hmm. basically.
That's a little bit of a troubling scripture. I mean, it's kind of a recipe for not praying. Mm-hmm. Well, He knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, He does, though.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So don't use a lot of words.
I guess,
just
yes.
ask as short as you can.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, yeah.
Lord, you know what I mean. I'm trusting you. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right. It almost sounds like disrespectful.
Yeah.
Not really, but like
no.
Sure, but
yeah. No, He doesn't want to hear about your
right
words.
To the point. Get right. right to the point.
Yeah.
Right. Beat around the bush.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But see, Jesus with the loaves and the fishes, He didn't even get to the point. He just thanked, you know, for what He had. You know what I mean? He just, you know, that's. So if we want to, we need to be more like Jesus. We need to be more like Jesus.
I like to warm up God a little bit with a bunch of words.
Use it up for yourself.
I'm thinking warming Him, but it's probably me that's getting warm.
Yeah.
You know, I was thinking about that a little today, and I thought, you know, I know there's been, and I'll just speak for me, times when I'm praying and I'm going, that was a good thing to say, da da da, and stuff like that. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
That's sinful almost. I mean, it's hypocritical. I mean, it's you know, it's like, oh yeah, that was an effective word.
Mm-hmm. Right. I got
you know.
Yeah.
Aren't you all kind of impressed by it?
Yeah.
Oh, Ken, I wish I didn't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, before that verse 7, it's, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by
you
men.
They want to be heard.
Huh?
They want to be heard.
Yes.
All right.
But surely I say to you, they have their reward.
I don't understand. What is the reward, anyways? I don't
know. Well, they're getting whatever
from man.
That's it. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then it's just don't use, go against the one but don't use vain repetitions. Mm.
Let me ask you this, though, in connection with he knows what you want before you pray. What do you make of the parable of the unjust judge and the lady that kept pestering and pet pestering, and the guy said, okay, you can have it because I'm, you know, tired of hearing you. You know.
Are you talking about the baby that they're going to have?
No.
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 No. This is the lady that just kept coming to the ruler or whatever. They,
right, the unjust judge. And
yeah.
And he didn't want to give it, but, you know, she was just so persistent. Now, I think I get the difference between being persistent and using a whole lot of words.
Mm-hmm.
I think I get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just the minute you brought that, I thought, see, there's always another setting of scripture
But it's getting at something.
Yeah.
That, you know.
Well, it is persistent.
It's persistent. I mean, and one way of being persistent is to repeat yourself over and over, but mm-hmm. but that's a little different. Still, it's not being florid, this big cloud of, you know, words there. But nonetheless, there is that scripture.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to be persistent.
There's another illustration, too. And that's where the fellow wanted a loaf of bread because he had company.
Yeah, right. Kept knocking, banging on the door. Right.
Kept praying and asking. It was a teaching for us about to seek the Lord and ask for it. He said,
"Go away. I'm in bed with my kids."
Right. But it's a persistence.
Right. See, in these two occasions.
But that's the evidence of faith.
In these two occasions, the unjust judge and the guy that was in his bed, they both knew, just like God knew what they needed. So it's not the both people praying or asking, they were not asking the same thing. It's like when you're a kid, okay, mom, can I eat all the can I do whatever? Can I go out and ride my bike? No, you can't. I wouldn't say again, mom, can I go out and ride my bike? Now she knows. Now all I will say again will be please, no, please, no. Please, no. I don't ask, can I go out and ride my bike again every time? Because she knows what I need. So when I just say please, it's, you know, she knows. So that's basically the persistence. It's not repeating, you know, not the many words. It's just, I'm begging you again, you know, please, please.
Well, I got a...
Yeah. There's a difference.
Yeah.
I have a one-word prayer that I have used frequently.
Yeah.
It's called help.
Yeah.
Help.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, so, is it, what I'm trying to figure out here, give me a minute. I lost my train of thought. Is it necessary to only pray once for one thing, or is it?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, that's my point.
You
keep asking the Lord.
You pray
on a continual basis not to be annoying, but
maybe it's according
to that you are sincere in that prayer. Or are you just saying it one time just to say it?
You pray until you receive. However, God knows what you need, so you might not be asking what you really need. That's what you say, give thanks, or pray the Lord's Prayer. But also says, God says, you are not God, but one of the guys. He says, you ask and you don't receive because you ask amiss that you might spend it in your own whatever. So not all your prayers will get answered, even, you know, because
right.
But
you may not want the answer.
Right. You ask until according to the scriptures, to the unrighteous judge.
Or maybe if you have faith that you ask once,
mm-hmm.
and then you're just waiting for God because you know He's going to do it.
Yeah.
You know.
It didn't work with the guy that was in bed and locked up his house and wanted to get bread, though.
No.
Glenn said, you don't want to be annoying. Well, I think what worked with those guys was to be annoying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It worked with the unjust judge.
Angel.
She's going to weary me with my much asking.
You're right.
He's banging on the door. Can't get back to sleep because he keeps banging on the door. Right. I think that sounds annoying to me.
Right.
And Angel, Angel brought up a really... Did I cut you off?
No. No, that's... I'm bad. Oh.
Were you going to say something? Glenn? Were you going to say something that cut you off?
No.
Okay.
I thought you were talking to Charlie.
No, Angel brought up an interesting thing about herself. And they have a dream house now. But they have been so affected and so hurt over the last few years because this was the right house and that was the right house and this was the right house and that was the right house. And they prayed they didn't get it. They prayed they didn't get it. They prayed they didn't get it. But they kept on praying and now they got it. Mm-hmm. Now they got the house that, they, that is the right, for, the right one for them. And it's like, is that not how we are? Mm-hmm. We don't know really what we need.
Mm-hmm. Right. This is a Garth Brooks song, and you guys probably know it. It says, "I thank God for unanswered prayers," because he was praying for this girl, but if God would have answered that prayer, he would have never had the girl he's married to.
Yeah, right.
You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't like referring to stuff like, to stuff like that, but it, it's
right.
Yeah. It's the same thing. The same thing. See, Jesus says, and I'm going to get back to where I was. Jesus says, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." And so, in immaturity and in ignorance, people have said, "Oh, he's saying I'm God, I am the Father," but that's really not what he's saying. That's in the verse, chapter 14, verse 9. But in the 10th verse, he explains the 9th verse. But nobody bothers to read the 10th verse. He says the things that are happening that I'm doing inside of me is the evidence that God is doing it. Of myself, I can do nothing. I mean, he's telling us all of that. So he says, the thing that you see me do is the evidence that God is doing it. I'm not able to do it.
Yeah. Good one. Yeah, that's...
Huh?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what he says.
It's a good setting.
Yeah.
And so people read it, and they say, oh, he's saying that he's God. That's not what he's saying.
Yeah.
You could make it say that, but that's not what it says.
That's a bad twist.
Yeah, do you follow what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's not what he said. But you know what? It took me a while to see it myself. I read it over and over and over and over and listened and listened and listened and listened. And you finally start to see it.
I think it is beyond a lot of people's realm of reference or something to know that you can be full of God. Full of God, and that the possibilities are infinite when you are full of God.
Yeah,
I think they don't get that. They you know they don't, and so for Jesus had to be a God because you know how could he otherwise have done all the stuff that he did?
Yeah,
they haven't had spiritual experiences. Not that we've been full of God, but we've been close enough to get some kind of indication of it.
See, if God's ways are past finding out, how do I get to know him?
Right.
How do I get to know him? You know what? There's not one of you that can explain him to me. And you can't reveal him to me. Neither can any. The Pope can't, and nobody else out there can either. Nobody can reveal God to me. The only one is the Son. Because he knows it.
Yeah.
So, and he has declared him. Because the Father has spoken through him to declare himself to us. So the only way we can know God is if God himself makes it happen. But they that do know their God will be strong and do exploits.
Okay.
So that's the promise.
Yeah.
But how do I get through him? I can't do it. It's impossible. It is totally impossible for me to know God.
Through our own efforts.
God makes it possible.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
It is impossible. It's impossible for me to know God.
Yeah.
Except God makes it possible.
Right. But our own efforts won't cut the mustard.
There's not anything we can do to get to know him.
Right.
I can't think of him and think of how great he is, and I can't do anything to make him known.
Right.
I don't know I can't make sense in saying that because it doesn't make sense. But and that's been my prayer. I said, Lord, I want to know you, but I don't have a clue. I don't know how. Mm. You're gonna have to make it happen.
Mm.
But something is happening. It's happening in all of us. And
when you talk about this birth, and it's, it's. I was sitting there just thinking, it's an interesting prayer. Is an interesting thing, and I'm not saying do I want to say it. That's the best I come up with. That we know that we should pray, but you take the average church out there and people that are in that church, they don't pray. They let the pastor, the minister, the rabbi, whoever, say the prayer for them, and that's it. That's all they have for the whole, till next Sunday or whatever they meet. You know, even though we may not be doing it right, but at least we're doing it.
And God honors that.
Yeah. I mean, he knows, like you say, he knows what we want. He says somewhere in here that man does not know how to pray or something like that. Mm-hmm.
We know not how we pray as we ought, but Holy Spirit gives us.
Well, that's the other thing. They don't have any clue that they can have the Holy Spirit praying for them.
Right. Yeah. They don't have tongues, right?
Yeah.
No,
they don't even have a clue that they can pray themselves.
Right.
In the Holy Spirit or not.
Yeah.
Well, they might have given a shot and nothing much happened.
It's a thought came through my head.
Yeah. Mm. You know, I was thinking the other day that, in a way, I respect atheists more than just kind of standardy church going, Atheists at least recognize, hey, this is a real question that deserves a real answer. Church going, semi-Christian, whatever. It's this kind of make-believe, pretend thing. It's good enough. There's nothing real going on there. At least, with the atheists, I think there's a possibility that God can do something with that.
Yeah.
Real on this deal. Right. Because, with the other church goings,
that's what says in Revelation. I don't want you to be cold or hot, but lukewarm.
Yeah,
I mean, so yeah, he almost rather have him being cold.
Yeah, right.
So they can do something about it.
To your point about the atheists, they are even more dedicated to that, if you want to call it religion or atheism. Whatever. They're more dedicated to that.
Or at least it's a question that is entitled to a definite answer of some sort. Now, there could be some pretty ugly things behind the atheism, I think, some insistence that they're suffering, So I don't know if I really, really respect the atheists, but at least they're, that aspect of it's a real question. And I probably would have a little more in common with the atheist than I would. I mean, how do you talk to that fuzzy,
There's no atheist in hell.
There was a man years ago. His name was Brian Wiseman. Did you ever hear that name? Mm-hmm. And he was a policeman for the city of Eau Claire. And Johnny Jamberg had kind of knew him and started witnessing to the guy. He was an atheist. And he said, I don't believe in God. I don't think there's nothing that anybody can do to convince me. And so he was down in on Water Street someplace. He put his revolver to his head. And he says, if there's a God, he says, I want to know right now. And I'm going to blow my brains out. The next thing you know, he was under the ground weeping and crying out for God to save his soul. Nothing happened just like that. That was his testimony. I remember hearing it. You just blow his brains out. The next thing you know, he's on the ground crying out for his soul.
Oh, my.
I can remember this story.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the next person that tries it?
Don't try it. Don't try it at home.
So like following the formula for why now you got to spit on this dust and then you make clay and then you wipe their ass.
Right.
That's the way you make people's eyes.
He did, but no, did not too.
Yeah. Yep.
But he was served the Lord for quite a few years in some capacity. God bless you guys.
Yeah.